Hello, and welcome to the Revive the Honeymoon Period in Your Relationship. This is a course that actually is not necessarily just about honeymoons, and it is actually open to anyone, whether or not you're in a relationship. But the focus of the course is really improving relationships. So technically, it's really about improving your own relationship. The concept of the honeymoon period is that really the first 2 years, approximately, of a marriage or of a long-term relationship will tend to be the best and happy and all that. And then there's some brain chemistry changes. So let me tell you a little bit about that and brain chemistry and all that. And I've also put it on the slide that I have in appreciation to Dr. John Gray, who's the author of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, and a whole bunch of other books, most of them about that concept. So John Gray, you may or may not know his name, but his book almost everyone knows about, The Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, or at least the concept. So what happened was many years ago, I guess around, over 10 years ago actually, I heard a presentation by him, and I was really impressed. I was so impressed that I pretty much went to every single presentation or training or workshop that he gave from then on for a number of years, at least 5 years, every single one. So every month I was somewhere where he was. I learned so much, and I really, really appreciate it. And I actually asked him a lot about, is it okay that I'm teaching this material? And he says, look, you can always teach what's in a book. That's always okay. But thank you for asking. He says, because so many people teach my material as if it's their own, and they just basically are stealing it. So I appreciate that you're, open about it and honest and all that. So he's really fine with me teaching his material as long as I give him the credit of what it is. Now, all of this material that I'll be teaching is not 100% his. Okay, it's a lot, but let's say maybe, there's a good chunk that is his material. But I've also changed it, shifted it. I've learned more. I also am a hypnotherapist, and I teach how the brain works. So my material is also basically formulated from that. So I know a lot about how the brain works. That's what I've been learning and studying for many, many years and teaching. And that's the unique part of what I'm teaching. And it really is unique because the information just isn't out there so much. So let's get started. And something didn't work there. Okay, so I have to have my little disclaimers. Now, I'm going to be mostly teaching generalities about brain chemistry, not detailed science. So if you happen to know some of this, you can say, what about the, hippocampus and all this other stuff? Well, no, sorry, I'm not going to go into those details, okay? It is actually very complex. But that's not the point, and that's really not the goal, because our goal is the practical use of this information, okay? Now, I will usually say generally, typically, things like that, because these are generalities for men and women. But here's another beautiful thing about our bodies, that we were created to be able to do the other gender's work. So, for example, let's say you're out on the prairie, and there's a husband and wife and 10 kids, or whatever it is back then, and one of the spouses dies. Well, the other one has to be able to take on their work. They have to be able to know, so that you can't have, for example, the wife say, well, I'm sorry, I don't know how to hunt, so we're just going to die. or the husband, I'm sorry, I don't know how to cook, so we're just going to die. We are built to be able to do this. Now, for example, this is really an interesting one I ran into. I knew a man, he was a sales guy, and he was heavy testosterone, big-time sales guy. He was like Mr. Testosterone, 100%. And his wife left him when he, with two little kids. And he said, you know, he said, I had to learn how to be a mom. I had to. You know, it's not my strength, but hey. And I actually heard him talk on the phone to his daughter, who was, I think, a teenager at that time. And it was really fascinating to hear the depth of the love going on between the two of them. Was really beautiful. And so he really gained a lot from the experience. But, yeah, it wasn't his normal way of being. It was, that was obvious to me because he was Mr. Power, sales guy, testosterone, and all that stuff. So, anyway, that's what happens. We really are built to survive. Okay, so I'll be talking a lot more about that stuff. And you can always ask, well, you know, I'm not that way, you know, if you want to ask things like that. So what will happen is I will be talking about the generalities, you know, because that's how we're built. But, for example, me, I've been a CEO for over 15 years. And before that, I was in corporate America doing senior project management work in the IT industry in the big male-oriented, you know, world. Okay, we can do that. You know, it's not, there's more about that I'll be teaching, though, about what happens in those situations. So we all can do the other side, but it's what our chemistry is mostly based on doing, what we are genetically predispositioned to be and what's important about that. And there's some very important pieces that you'll be learning in this class about it as to that can really help us have better relationships. So I also have had people write to me sometimes. They say, well, you know, research shows that men and women really are mostly the same. Their brains are pretty much the same. Well, yeah, that's true. 90%. That's true. 90% of their brains are the same, but 10% is different, and that difference has a huge effect on our thoughts, feelings, and actions. Huge effect. So we'll be going into that throughout this whole class. Now, basically, what's important to realize is that men and women are equal, but different. And I like to say in a way that women's lib kind of got it messed up. They wanted men and women to be equal. Okay, that's good. But they, because of the culture being patriarchal, they thought that the best thing was for women to be like men. Well, that messed us all up. You know, they thought we should all be the same. You know, no, we really shouldn't. Now, people should be able to do what they want to do. There's nothing wrong with a woman being a CEO. But what's important is to recognize what our bodies are optimized for, and to fulfill what our bodies need no matter what, and to understand it. Okay. Now, our bodies are the same as when we were hunters and gatherers. Now, I kind of like to call it nurturers instead of gatherers. That's just my preference, because women are built to be nurturers. Does that mean every single woman is a nurturer? Of course. Here's the generality thing. Is every woman perfect as a nurturer? No. We all have issues. But as a general rule, a woman's body is built to be a nurturer, taking care of the kids, having kids. Okay. Taking care of the widow next door, you know, all of that type of thing. Men's bodies are built to be the hunters. Now, you may say, well, gee, that was like, you know, whatever it was, 25,000 years ago or something like that. Well, yeah, guess what? Our bodies have not changed. You know, 25,000 years ago, we got a prefrontal cortex. Not that you need to know that. That's basically our conscious mind or the thinking mind, the one that makes decisions. Well, that was 25,000 years ago. So if you think that 50 years of changing our roles makes a difference, no. Our bodies are still hunters and gatherers. So men's bodies are built to be providers and protectors. Okay, women's bodies are built to be nurturers and communicators. And what I mean by this, on the communicators, it's really, well, communicators in many different ways, but one of the ways is as the alarm system. So, let's say a tiger gets into the village, okay? The tiger, you know, somehow comes into the village. And so what happens is the women scream and gather the kids, okay? Then the men, they grab their spear and go after the tiger. the fascinating thing about this that really shows my point, really proves my point, is that one thing that happened, I was many years ago, it was in the middle of the night, and there it happened to be that there was a windstorm. And there was a piece of lawn furniture that got blown against the bedroom window and broke the window. Now, so that woke my husband and I up, and all of a sudden, we, you know, here we are in the middle of the night, just waking up to this huge crash. I immediately jumped up and went to the alarm system, which, of course, calls the police, or calls the alarm company, which calls the police and all that stuff. He immediately jumped up and went outside to look at what happened. See, he took action. I communicated. And even then, I was the one who said something to him. I think I'm the one who woke him up, I believe. I'm not sure if it was the noise or me, but I said something. Why? Because in an emergency, the blood flow of a woman goes, guess what, to her brain, to the communication part of her brain. And guess what? For a man, it goes to the action part of his brain. So the man takes action, the woman screams. I didn't scream, but, you know, it's perfect because we are built to survive. So if we all did the same thing, it wouldn't work. So anyway, this is very important basic information to lead into what I'll be teaching about on the on relationships. Okay? All right. He already talked about being in the same place. And remember, we are part of the animal kingdom. We are animals. Yes, we have a prefrontal cortex, meaning we can think. Okay, but that's this little tiny part of our brain. We are basically animals, other than able to think. So we forget the animal part sometimes. So the conscious mind essentially is kind of like the prefrontal cortex, the thinking part of our mind, you know, what makes decisions and thinks. And what I'm talking to you is with my conscious mind. And that's only 3% of our brain power. 3%. So I've had some people say, oh, but we're different than the animals. Yeah, but it's 3% of our brain power, which also means how important the rest of our brain is. And how much it controls us in so many ways. So I wanted to start with this of purpose of life. And you may or may not agree with this. A lot of people tend to. But it's kind of a good way to look at life if you want to and you don't have to. Okay. It leads into some things, though, that I'll be teaching. So if you think about this, you might consider that your purpose of life in life is to grow, heal, learn, and serve others. Okay? Maybe there's other things to add, but these are generally the ones that I tend to think about. So growing in terms of basically learning and healing, you know, leads to growth, so personal growth type of thing, and helping others. You know, we are built to really care about others and help others. This will lead into some more things. Okay, what is the purpose of relationships? Number one is procreation, survival of the species. Of course, we're animals. We are driven by this more than you'll ever guess. Okay, so procreation, survival of the species, it makes a big difference. And that leads into things that I'll be teaching about. Now, I put in companionship, but we're, you know, most of the mammals, pretty much I think all the mammals, all live in groups, which is also part of survival. But we're sort of built to want to be with each other, to want companionship. Why? Because that leads to procreation and survival of species. Sharing workload, that's another purpose of relationships, because it's helping each other, working together. You know, somebody does one job, another person does another job, so maybe the man goes out and hunts and the woman goes and gets water, okay, that type of thing. It's sharing the workload. Now, especially nowadays, it's also to push our buttons to force us to heal and grow. So what that means is, yeah, people are put in your life, in a sense, to kind of trigger problems so that it kind of pushes you into personal growth. it's a trigger. And if you really look at relationships this way, it can really, really be helpful. Here's something to really think about on that. Is it is part of a relationship. And if you're resisting the healing, the growing, the learning, you're going to still have problems with your relationship. But when you choose to see what's your part in the matter, or you choose to see what do I need to heal, what do I need to learn or grow from, the more you go there, the happier you will be. And this is for you. It's not for the other person even, although it'll help the relationship. But it'll especially help you, and it puts you in control. So no matter what your spouse or partner or whoever, whatever you want to call the person is, a relationship, the more you look at it this way, the happier you will be and the more you will be in control. Because you can control what's inside of you. Now you're going to learn more about the chemistry so that you'll know how to work with that too. But this gives you more power, more strength, more control, is to learn your side. Because some of what's going on and what I've learned from people, a little bit about what's going on with some of you, that part of it will be very, very powerful if you choose to go that route. Okay, another little interesting tidbit of information is that marrying for love is a modern concept. It's only like a few hundred years old. Our bodies have not changed in 25,000 years. So, you know, our bodies are still built to survive and survival of the species. And, I wanted to tell you about, there's a culture, I forgot where they are in the world. Anyway, some culture that, I took an anthropology class when I was in college. And the teacher had lived in some culture somewhere, which I forgot, where it was. New Guinea or someplace like that, I forgot. Anyway, in that culture, women and children lived in one set of huts. And the men lived in the man's hut. And they actually did not live together at all. Now, if the man wanted sex, he went over to the women's side, had sex with his wife, and then went back to the man's side. The men stayed together, they slept together, they were all on their side. And they had a belief that if the man ever slept with a woman, like slept as in sleeping, he would lose his power. Well, so here is this anthropologist who brought his wife along. And they're sleeping together. They're Americans. And finally, one of the villagers said to the husband, the anthropologist, he goes, how do you not lose your power? And the anthropologist thought, oh my gosh, what am I going to say? And he just thought fast. He says, well, all the supplements I take, all those pills, or maybe they're pills, I don't know, like anti-malaria pills or something. The man says, yes. Just, that's why I don't lose my power. So that was a good one. That was a quick one. Now, there is actually some validity to this, because women do reduce the testosterone way too many times of their men without knowing it. But I'll be teaching you about that. There are actually some validity of the chemistry for this. You're going to definitely learn about this one, because this is really important. Anyway, I just wanted to give you that interesting little tidbit. So around the world, it's not all the same. Okay, but we still have the same bodies, the same chemistry. Okay. Now, this thing about brain chemicals to learn. Now, do you have to learn them? No. You're probably going to end up knowing these four chemicals anyway, two of which usually most people know, at least one, for example, testosterone, everyone knows that one. Okay, now, but what you probably may or may not know, men typically need more testosterone and more dopamine. Women typically need more oxytocin and serotonin. These four are so important for us feeling good that that's why I teach about these four in particular. Are there other chemicals? Yes. And there's other chemicals involved in many different things, but we're not in a chemistry class, and that's not the point of this. The point of this is the practical use of all this, so that what you can do is use this information to have better relationships. But it's really helpful to have a clue about what happens with these chemicals and how they affect our feelings in particular. Okay, testosterone and oxytocin are hormones. Dopamine and serotonin are neurotransmitters. You don't have to know this stuff, okay? I just thought I'd put it in there. But it doesn't matter whether it's a hormone or a neurotransmitter. They both affect how we feel and how we think and how we act. Testosterone gives strength and confidence. Dopamine, excitement and motivation. So it's kind of like happiness, but happy, the word happy has kind of many meanings, actually. You could have a serene happiness, which is, that's not dopamine. But dopamine's like, yeah, wow, excitement, oh boy. Okay, that's dopamine. Okay, motivated, you really want to go, you want to do something. Okay, dopamine. Oxytocin is the hormone of love and bonding. Serotonin is all about feeling calm and feeling supported in life. Basically, serotonin is the feeling of life's okay, everything's fine. Now, there's a few pieces of information about this. Men, their bodies, when they are born, they have 30% more muscle mass than a woman, than a female body, just even when they're born. So even the strongest woman in the world has less muscle mass than most men, okay? I mean, it could be, I think even most. So what happens is, also, that affects a lot about dopamine and a lot about testosterone. Now, a male body requires at least 10 times more testosterone than a woman's body. We have testosterone, woman has testosterone, but it's at least 10 times less. And that's incredibly important to realize. Incredibly important. The drive that men have, women can't understand. We think we're the same. No. So what happens? Now, 10 times, that's actually a very mellow man. If you can think of the kind of man who's maybe a meditator, he's very mellow. Doesn't mean, of course, meditators can have a lot of testosterone, too. But maybe I always have this image of like a male massage therapist. Hi, I'm here to give you a massage. You know, I mean, he's very mellow and loving and caring and all that kind. I don't mean gay, straight, but very mellow, okay? That kind of man needs has the need for 10 times more testosterone than a woman. Okay, regular men, you know, kind of like sort of general regular man, has 20 times of a need for testosterone than a woman. So the majority of men you meet, they have a requirement for their body that is 20 times more than what a woman has. That's huge. And it has a huge effect. And I'll be talking to you today a little bit about how women destroy the testosterone inadvertently. Because we don't know. We're doing it. Anyway, you're going to be learning a lot more about all these. And it's actually, I find it exciting because I also have solutions, which is really good. Because when you know, then you can do something about it. Okay. Trying to think if I'm going to say anything more about these right now, because I'm going to be teaching this in the class. Let's see. Oxytocin. Now, actually, the same kind of thing happens with women. And this is really sad because oxytocin is not as well known as it needs to be. Probably it's similar, but there's not enough research to show what is the requirement of oxytocin that women have. But our culture destroys oxytocin and doesn't give women enough oxytocin. Our culture is patriarchal. It is built to be very male-oriented. It destroys women's oxytocin and doesn't give us enough. Both. Inadvertently, the men in our lives also do that. Same thing. Inadvertently, we're doing the opposite things to each other, which is really sad. And I'm going to be talking a lot more about that, and I'm going to be teaching more about oxytocin. And I'll tell you something. If we were to educate enough people how important oxytocin is, we would change the world. Now, you can't live on only oxytocin. Oxytocin is the hormone of love and bonding, right? But if you only love, and you're all, oh, I love everybody, and then you just happy-go-lucky, and you don't get anything done. Because oxytocin is a hormone of feeling awesome, and it's very blissful. At high levels, you can't move because you feel really good in blissful heaven, serene, and all you want to do is lie there and do nothing. So that's high levels of oxytocin. And women in the Western culture can spend their entire life not feeling it. I've been blessed that I've been able to at times, and it's incredible, absolutely incredible. But if we were able to give women enough oxytocin, we would change the world. But see, oxytocin is all about love, love and bonding. People would care more. There's one little caveat that there is psychopaths and sociopaths, and they actually can't care. They're incapable of caring, and they tend to be high-level politicians. So there is a slight problem, and they're not just politicians. They're high-level people who have lots of money because they really don't care about people, and they're willing to do anything to get money because they want money and power. That's all they care about, and themselves, and they actually literally can't care about others. So that's another little side part. But other than that, these are important. We will be going into more. What I tend to do with teaching is I don't just give you everything about one thing and never teach it again, because I want to give you kind of repeat, because repetition is important in learning. And so, you know, at least three times you should hear the same thing, hopefully, or something about it. So we will come back to some of these things again. Okay, it's not the last thing. Not the last time we'll be learning. Okay, so what happens? All right, men are driven to try to get more dopamine and testosterone. Their bodies use them up. Okay, all that muscle mass, the same nutrition that creates muscle is what creates dopamine. Exact same nutrition. So what happens? Now, if you're building a body, God or whoever built bodies, what's more important? The muscle. Because a man has to run, he has to go, you know, catch a deer or whatever, you know, he has to go hunt and all that. So the same nutrition, if you don't have enough, it's going to say, okay, this goes to the arms and legs, to the muscles. Well, if the brain doesn't have it, oh well. So he doesn't feel so good. Because that's the priority. And our food and nutrition is not that great. And so men typically don't have enough dopamine. It has a huge effect on men. Huge. Women typically have enough dopamine. Men typically don't. And men, their bodies also crave the testosterone. So what a man's body does is it craves the testosterone and dopamine. And a woman's body craves oxytocin and dopamine. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. I have to cut that out. Oxytocin and serotonin. So how it affects us is we think that that's how life is. Because there's not enough knowledge out there that it's actually different. So I'll give you a perfect example of what happened with this. I was beginning to learn this information about brain chemistry, and I was memorizing, you know, what men needed, because, of course, it didn't make sense to me at all. You know, it seems so counterintuitive to me. Of course, I'm a woman. So I would talk to my clients. Now, I'm a hypnotherapist, so I had clients, and I remember one man came to me, and he was very stressed out. And I had heard it was good for a man to be alone. And one good technique for a man is to go by themselves, be alone, and take a drive, like especially out in the country. Now, it made no sense to me because I would never have wanted to do that hardly. Or, you know, it's like, okay, it wouldn't have been top of my list. Okay? You know, I've done that sometimes, but it's not top of my list. Okay. So I told him, I said, well, here's three ideas of what you can do to reduce your stress. And so I gave him two other ones that are just kind of general stress reduction techniques, and I gave him that one to try to kind of see what he thought. I was kind of testing. I said, well, here's something I've heard recently. It's good for men, you know. So you could consider doing this, you know, take a drive, you know, out in the country or something like that. You know, take a drive alone. So he came back the next session. And so I asked him, I said, so what, you know, how are you? What did you do? You know, how's it been since last time? He said, oh, you gave me the best, you know, technique in the world. He said, I took a drive by myself. It was great. I felt awesome. Okay, I guess it does work. Okay, here's a little tidbit of information. When a person is alone, their testosterone goes up. Now, women may not feel it, and we don't care that much, because it doesn't make that much of a difference, because our testosterone levels, comparatively, are so low. But when you're thinking about somebody who has 20 times more testosterone, it has a big effect. Now, this affects us in many other places. So, I know I have this further in the training, but I'm going to mention it right now. When a man rests and or is alone and or does mindless activity, his testosterone goes up. So what's extremely important is for a man, let's say when he comes home from work where he's depleted his testosterone, he's used it up, he needs to rest for at least 20 minutes. Women don't understand this at all. And then we get really pissy and everything else because it's like, well, you know, I'm tired too. I was at work. See, that's where this whole thing about men and women both working outside of the house really messes up a lot. Our bodies are not built to do the same thing like that, you know, to have a good relationship. So there's many ways around it to work it out. We're going to be talking about that, not today, but another class, of the effect of this and how to work around it. But women don't get it. Why? Because we don't realize that men have 20 times more need for that rest than we do. 20 times. So the best thing for a woman to do is to let him have that rest. Now, it might mean mindless activity, watching TV. It could mean playing video games. It could be tinkering in the wood shop or the garage or whatever. You know, tinkering with things. It's being mindless. And or resting. Now, a woman's body is built to keep going. We're the energizer bunnies. Now, working outside of the home also tires us out, so a woman may need to rest. What I find that works out is actually my boyfriend takes his 20-minute nap, sometimes 30 minutes, when he's really tired, and I take 5-minute naps. I rest. I don't usually sleep. I sometimes do if I'm really exhausted, but I'm up and around. Okay, here's why, you know, because we should never ever think, well, that's not fair, because it's all built in the fact we're animals. Okay, and hunters and gatherers, or hunters and nurturers. So what happens? Men are built to, all of a sudden, catch a deer. Okay, and before spears, they had to run. So they wait, and they wait, and they wait, and run fast. And then catch whatever the prey is. And then bring it back and give it to the wife and then rest. And sit by the campfire and stare into the fire. See, mindless activity. Okay, that's how their bodies are built. Okay, woman's body was built to have children. So, guess what? How would it be if you had, like, you know, three little kids, and the woman says, okay, I'm going to take my 20-minute nap. Oh, well, the kids are going to be all over everything, right? And do who knows what. So women's body is actually built to be the Energizer Bunny and keep on chugging, keep on going, keep on going, keep on going. That's how our bodies are built. So if you think about it in terms of running, men are the sprinters, women are the marathoners. That's how our bodies are built. And it's really interesting when you really get this information. For one thing, women, if you pace yourself like a marathoner does, it works better, and you're more comfortable and happier. And when everyone understands that, yeah, the man has to do his little sprinting, he, you know, does something really big, fast, whatever, and then he rests. So when a man gets home from work, it's really important to leave him alone, let him have his 20-minute nap or whatever he wants to do, being mindless. Don't even complain or commiserate or any form of complaining about it whatsoever at all. We're going to get into that next, the next slide. And let him do it. And then he's back and happier. Now, we'll get more into all these things. Okay. So it is really important to realize when you're giving advice to the other gender, you're probably giving the wrong advice because it's not what's optimized for their body. And this is so, like, not known. So that's why I'm teaching this. So, what happens is if the person even tries to do the advice, it's not going to work for the chemistry. And if you're giving them advice about what they should do you're stressed out, so you should do this. Or, you know, let's say if it was, you know, why are you taking a nap? I'm tired too, if that was a woman, let's say. All of that destroys the chemicals of the other person, and it's worse. We make it worse. We're actually destroying the chemistry of our loved ones, and we have no idea. We have no idea we're doing this. But that's what this class is all about. And then we're like, well, why aren't you happy? You know? Like, why are you so frustrated? Well, this is good techniques. Yes, they are good techniques, but for your gender, not for the other one. Okay. Now, this also shows why you can make a huge difference in the relationship by yourself. Okay, I have been in situations. Sometimes I'll tell you about my things in my life, and I try to keep away from saying who it was. I really respect all the men that I've either dated or married, you know, whatever. And so I don't ever really want to criticize anybody. So I try to keep it very confidential. So it doesn't really matter who the person was. But there was one situation where I was learning all this information, but the man had no interest. Okay. But it had a huge effect. It still helped the relationship a lot. Because I took on the two parts of this, healing myself and understanding the chemistry so that I didn't hurt his chemistry anymore. And when I really got it, that I was destroying his testosterone and dopamine, not knowing, because I didn't mean to, when I stopped doing that, it made the relationship better. So it's really important to know one person in the relationship can have a huge impact on the whole relationship. And when you really take ownership of that, you can really change things. So any of you who are on this call or learning this information with me, and you're thinking, well, my spouse or partner or whatever is not here, so it's not going to work, or whatever, you know, some kind of thought like that. Don't worry, this will make a huge difference. Now, will it save your relationship 100%? I can't say 100%, okay? Because for one thing, people do grow apart sometimes. Or maybe one person's not committed to the relationship and doesn't believe relationships can last forever, okay, and won't work on it. I had a situation of somebody who didn't believe you should have to work on a relationship at all. They should just flow. Everything should just flow and just should, you know, whatever. And so there's reasons why, you know, it might be the right thing. But here's something important. Now, if you're in a situation where you're wondering whether or not to stay with a person or not, here's a very important piece of advice that I got that really was profound and awesome. And the woman said, if you are having, like, what did she say? If you're feeling strong feelings, maybe you're frustrated, angry, or whatever the strong feelings are, you have something to heal. And that's not the time to leave the relationship. This is profound. Look at what it is for you to heal. Because what will happen is, let's say, well, let's just say there's a situation where, let's just say it's a husband and wife, and the husband is having affairs, okay? And let's say in this situation, the woman knows this and all that, is very upset, and let's say she thinks, should I stay or go? Okay, well, number one, first off, before I talk about stay or go, if there's physical violence, go, no matter what. The person who's doing the physical violence typically will never go get enough healing, typically, to really make a difference. And it only escalates typically. So if there's physical violence, I personally always say go. Leave the relationship no matter what. Okay, if not, then look at yourself as to what you need to heal. Because there probably is something to heal. And then, if you do choose to leave the relationship, you look at it and say, and when you're kind of calm about the whole thing, and you just look at it matter-of-factly, okay, this serves me, this does not serve me, this serves my higher purpose or does not serve my higher purpose. Okay, and you can look at it much more calmly. I have done this, okay, so I can actually talk from experience. And it was profound, it was awesome. Because what happens is this. Let's give that scenario. Then what happens is if the woman says, oh, you know, he's had like 3 affairs or whatever, you know, some number. you know, I can't take this. I'm leaving. Okay, guess what? She's going to attract into her life another person who does the same thing until she heals. This is how it works. So guess what? It's better to stay. Unless there's physical violence, that's different. It's better to stay. Because then you can heal your own issues. And if there is ever a time to leave, it'll be apparent. But it'll be apparent to you in a calm way. Not in a fighting or whatever. So what I encourage everyone is to look at, what do I need to heal? What is my part in this that I need to heal? And how am I contributing to this issue? Especially in this case through brain chemistry, it's also good to know, or whatever else, okay? Okay. Alrighty, I wanted to finish that. Ooh, now we go to the last page. Okay. This is huge. That's why I put it as number one. Appreciation of actions drastically increases testosterone, and guess what? Which is huge for men. Well, guess what? Criticism of actions drastically decreases testosterone. Women, we destroy our men constantly with this. Why? Because for us, it's the opposite. Now, let me go to that and I'll tell you more about this. Respect or disrespect. So respecting for who she is drastically increases oxytocin. Or disrespecting a woman for who she is decreases oxytocin. This is huge for women. Men destroy women constantly about this. Okay, Now, and just to give the where this is from, I've adapted this from Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, the actual book. Now, I've added in the brain chemistry. But John has been teaching this for now decades. Okay, here's how it works. We do what is comfortable to us. So when I love someone, or, you know, I care about the person, I do what feels good to me. So what I would do is I would never criticize another person for who he or she is, right? Because that's, for me, what would feel bad. Vice versa, man. Well, he would never criticize a person for the actions because that's terrible. Because it destroys testosterone. So instead, he attacks the person for who that person is. Because when you care, you give the other person what feels good to you. Well, it's the opposite, though. It's the opposite. So, I mean, it's still good that you care, but now you have to train yourself to say what helps that person. So I had to start listening to myself, and I realized, and it floored me, that I was constantly saying to men things that were actually criticizing their actions. See, testosterone is all about action. Oxytocin is all about being. So what we mean by that of the oxytocin is who she is, meaning her clothing, her hair, her makeup, sometimes her house, because it's who she is. So when sometimes that's kind of known. You don't criticize a woman for her clothes because it hurts her more than it would hurt a man. Okay, because it doesn't affect testosterone, but it does affect oxytocin. So the number one thing from today that I want you to take away, especially, is listen to what you're saying to someone of the opposite gender. And I don't care whether they're your romantic relationship. It could be a little boy. I've actually done this. I tried this out with a five-year-old boy, and it worked. I showed him appreciation of his action. And, oh, my God, he squared his shoulders, and it was like, incredible to watch him. He was so proud of himself, and you could see the testosterone flowing. When a man squares their shoulders, it actually comes from testosterone. And I saw this little five-year-old boy doing it. It was such a cool thing. It was so cute. So, anyway, practice it, okay? Practice it. Pay attention. So, women, listen to what you're saying to men, and men, listen to what you're saying to women. And are you saying the thing that's the opposite or not? So, women, show appreciation for all actions you can. Women, this is going to be hard to not criticize your man at all. Every single time, women, that you criticize their action, you destroy their confidence. You destroy them. You destroy their testosterone. You see how strong I feel about this? Because it really is true. And they're 20 times more than us. And it's a practice. Okay. I saved a marriage this way. Okay, I had a woman I talked to, and she said, oh, boy, I think we just had the fight that's going to end everything. It, you know, after this, it's divorce. And I said, well, you know I know about brain chemistry. Is it okay if I give you some information? She goes, yeah, whatever. And I said, well, first off, don't criticize him for his actions. She goes, oh, boy, I just spent 2 hours criticizing his actions. I said, number two, appreciate his actions. She says, well, how do I do that now? I mean, I think this is over. And I said, find anything he does and say something in appreciation. Like maybe he takes the garbage out. Say something and try to smile. We'll talk more about that another time, but that's important. Men are actually driven to want their women to be happy. So that's another beautiful thing. Anyway, so we'll talk more about these things, but I just wanted to really impress on you how important it is. Men, talk about how wonderful she is, okay, who she is. So, for example, men, you wouldn't say to, let's say it's wife, oh, honey, you cleaned up the house so beautifully. I mean, it's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Any appreciation of any kind is okay. But when you say, you are such a wonderful wife, or you are such a wonderful mother, or such a wonderful person, you take such great care in the home, I love you for that. I mean, see how powerful that can be? And I'll bet the women listening to that go, oh, that feels so good. So here's your homework. Whatever your gender is, give the other gender what they want. Any gender, and I mean practice on anyone. It could be the grocery store clerk, okay? It's practice. Practice appreciating, if it's a man, his actions. If it's a woman, who she is. And that's your homework. Okay, so what we're going to do now is open it up for questions. I apologize, I'm a little long, but let's do that. We're going to go, I'm going to switch over to Q&A. Q&A. You can put questions in the messages box. You can press *6 if you're on the phone. If you're on the computer, there is a little guy that you can click on to enter Q&A, and there is somebody. Okay, so let me click on that. Okay. Yes, you're on the phone. I mean, computer, whatever. There's only one person, so you're it. Hello? Did it not work? No, you should be able to talk. Okay, well, there's a message. My husband makes you crazy sometimes. Okay, I'm taking, it sounds like some kind of maybe his actions, or is there something specific about that? Oh, we have another person too. Okay, when we're watching TV, he gets too involved in the show. Okay, good question. Now, when you're saying too involved, do you mean that he's, like, doesn't do anything else? Or he gets excited and starts to criticize the bad guys and he does it loudly? Okay, yeah, all right. Okay, well, one thing about testosterone, and I'm going to be teaching this next week. They take credit for everything. Okay, testosterone just does that, takes credit. And so what happens is when they watch a big, exciting TV show, it raises their testosterone. They feel good. And so when they're yelling and screaming and all that, it feels good. Okay? And the bigger the TV, the better, because the more dopamine. Now, he does it loudly, and it loudly makes you cringe. Okay. Yes, unfortunately, he's being normal male. Okay, and you're being normal female. His loudness is destroying your oxytocin. And serotonin. Serotonin is all about life's okay, everything's fine, I feel supported in life, everything's calm. See, serotonin is all about calmness. Oxytocin is all about love. But is love ever, loud and boisterous and fighting? No. See, fighting makes a man feel good. Okay, watching TV, sometimes they feel good. Okay, now, one thing that's going to be important, oh boy, the best option would be if he could somehow be in a different room with the door closed, okay? Because it's actually good for him, but it's good for you to be comfortable and calm. So if you can work out something with him that one possibility, this only gives you half the problem. If he had like a headset or something where he could listen so you don't hear at least the sound of the TV. You hear the unfortunate sound of him. Now if he cannot say anything and listen to it with a headset, that is a solution. Okay. And then there's another message, I like being with him, so I need to know how to deal with his loud voice. Okay, so if you want that situation where you still want to be with him, what you can do is work within yourself. oh, you're both watching the same show. And you can kind of like, I'm going to say constantly, but it doesn't mean constantly, remind yourself, I'm here with my man because I love him. He's being a man, and that's wonderful. He's boisterous because and loud because he's being a man. Because actually what's going on in his body is he's protecting me and providing for me because that's what testosterone does. And she's actually acting that out, which is what he's doing, by the way. He's actually doing that. So inadvertently, he is killing the tiger and hunting for you. Okay? That's actually what's happening in his body. So you can come from love and say, you know, I love that about him. How much he cares about me to provide and protect. And yeah, he's just acting out his, I'm going to call it fantasy right now, but it's actually physically in his body, not a fantasy. His body is actually killing the tiger. So anyway, you're saying, I like that idea. So great. Good. Yes, because that's how we can handle a lot of this women, is we just say, wow, look at him. You know, he's being such a man. And yes, he's acting just according to his male nature. And I love him for that. And then just focus on your love for him. And you'll just glow with love. By the way, when a woman is pregnant and she has that glow is oxytocin. The more a woman has oxytocin, she glows. We'll get into a little bit more of oxytocin as we go along because it's really incredible. Okay, thank you. Next, Ian, got that? Okay, next person, but it says, okay, wait a minute. Okay, good. You're now available. So you can do it either through chat or on the audio. Wait a sec. This one says, hold on a second. Well, that's weird. This one says you're muted, and I can't unmute you. Hold on, maybe I'll do it here. I should unmute you. Maybe you don't. Anyway, just a second. Let me just put a little note. You are next. Okay. Okay, the next person, you're the only person there, and I just sent you a text. So either text your information or it still shows you as muted, so I'm not sure if I can unmute you. It doesn't seem to want to let me. Okay. Oh, yes. How do I help my husband to open up more? Well, that's an interesting thing. There's two parts of it. One of them is they're not women. Men are men. One thing about relationships, guess what? Women's brains are built for relationships. Men's brains are not. Okay, women, we have huge amount of parts of our brains that work on communication. Men do not. So part of it is that. Now that's part of it. Now it depends on what you mean by open up more. So if you want him to be like a girlfriend, it won't happen most of the time. Unless you're gay, which is, I love gay men. You may gab a lot. I have so much fun talking about. Okay, sorry. I just share his thoughts. Okay, well, there's a couple things on this. One thing that's also important, I wanted to tell people about this. Men have the ability to shut their brain off and have no thought. Women do not have this ability. It doesn't exist. Women's brains are constantly chattering. Men's brains can be totally shut off. And women can understand this because we can't, you know, because we don't have that. I did experience it once. I did a meditation practice for many, 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 many hours and many, actually over a period of many, many, many days, months. I can't remember how long it was. And I actually ended up reaching that moment in time, like less than half an hour, of having a clear mind with nothing in it. Okay, so that's a piece of it. Okay. Now, so we all, women, we all need to understand that. When a man says, you know, like, oh, honey, what are you thinking? Nothing. They are thinking nothing. Okay, they really are. Because their brain has to shut down. That's how they're built. Okay, now, sharing his thoughts, it depends. Some of this depends on if they have hang-ups, or here's another thing. Here's what I would try to do, is look at what I just taught about the appreciation thing. Since inadvertently, women typically have shut down men in so many ways by criticizing their actions, because we were thought we were being nice, you know, to criticize actions. Sometimes they stop talking because, whatever I'll say, she'll complain or criticize it. So they stop. Sometimes that's what's going on. Sometimes. Now, I don't know enough. What we can do, do you have any ideas, maybe even an example, or it could be a lot of different possibilities here, because that's one other possibility. There's a lot of other ones. So, for example, if he grew up in a house where it wasn't safe to speak his mind or to share his thoughts, then he has many years of not doing that. So let's just say he was in a family where the mother criticized him. Well, see, the woman criticizing the actions. And so he learned, I'm just not going to say anything. Okay, so he's trained for however old he is, that many years, to not share his thoughts. Some of the best ways is, first off, find out if he wants to. And make it very safe. So I would say, first, try to see how much, if you are doing any of the criticizing actions. So that's one thing. And then practice the not criticizing actions and appreciating positive actions. And then make it, you're going to have to make it safe for him. Now, how can you make it safe? First off, have you had any kinds of this discussion about, like, does he want to share his thoughts? And she said, by the way, she said, yes, he was brought up exactly. So I guessed, that happens. I often can guess what happened in a person's childhood just by knowing what they're like right now. I can actually guess what people eat because I know the nutrition that builds this chemistry. Okay, so you haven't really, the most important thing is you have to make it safe for him. So here's what I would do. Is I would actually first practice this, if this is new for you, to practice the appreciating the positive actions and saying nothing about negative actions. And then I would pick something that's maybe really important to you or that's easy. And maybe what I would say is say something first that's appreciating an action of his, you know. And just say, you know, honey, I just really love it that you do X, Y, and Z. It just makes me feel so good. And try to have a smile. The smile actually physiologically affects the man. They actually like to see their woman smile. And that's it. Okay, and then maybe, you know, and go on for about a week, let's say, of, you know, appreciating actions and making sure, monitoring yourself, that you're not criticizing actions ever with the man. Then pick something hopefully safe or easy and just say, you know, honey, what is your belief about blah, blah, blah? Or what is your thoughts about blah, blah, blah? Now, at first, he may be very non-emotional. Okay, that's fine. Just let him kind of do something safe and easy for him. You know, what is your thought or belief about animals or something? And, you know, I like dogs. Okay, great. You know, oh, cool, honey. See, positive. And he's going to have to take baby steps. I think you can actually make a difference yourself like this without even having the discussion with him. But I think, does this give you enough of an idea of how you can make it easier on him to open up? But realize he's not going to open up the way a woman will. It's just not going to happen anyway. But he also has this other side that was not safe. Does that help you? Okay, good. Yeah, and I happen to know you're in a long-term relationship, a long-term marriage, so I know you have the patience to be able to do that. Because it is something that actually takes time. And so there's a lot we can do with our spouses or long-term relationships or people we want to be long-term relationships like this. But I do kind of have a sense it will be gradual approach. Okay, awesome. Any other questions or comments or anything else? There's no one else in the queue. What I would like to say is do feel free to email me any of your situation, any part of it. As you saw the two great questions we had and some of the answers, there are pieces of what I just said for those of you who have emailed me your information. I know one for sure, it's a big situation from my point of view, or kind of, there's a lot to it, is the best way to say it. So there's pieces in what I taught today that are helpful, but there will be more in other classes that will be helpful for that, the one that I'm thinking of in particular. Because it's just going to, you know, it's just the way it is. There's just a lot I have to teach, and it can't be, you know, just one class. It's going to be more. There's more stuff coming that will help. Okay, so if you didn't hear your particular thing, I am thinking about you. And I have plans. Two of you in particular, next class, will have some important pieces in the next class. And then hopefully for everybody. But feel free to email me, you know, give me more input and give me feedback and all that. And good. And here's somebody saying a good refresher even, and really great, and thank you very much. And yes, you learned a few things. Excellent. Good. Good. So I guess this will be the end of today, and we'll be back same time next week and for the next class. Thank you very much.